This week's Torah portion is called Korach. The story is that Moshe had a cousin, a first cousin, whose name was Korach. And Korach argued that Moshe did not have the authority to do what he had done by appointing different people to positions of authority in the Jewish nation. Specifically, the Torah says he was arguing about Aharon, Moshe's brother. Why is Aaron the only Kohen Gadol, the only high priest? And it was also arguing, Rashi explains to us, about another cousin who was the leader of the sub-tribe, the part of the tribe of Levi. And Korach claimed he was smarter, he was wealthier. So that's the name of the parsha, Korach. And Korach talks about the fight that he had against Moshe. And we also read about the downfall that Korach and his children had. The Torah tells us that Korach was a very smart person. And he said to Moshe, I take a room and I make that room full of Torah scrolls. And if I take a little piece of parchment and I write a mezuzah, so don't the Torah scrolls have already enough holiness? Why do I need a small little mezuzah? In other words, he said, every Jew has power, that Moshe is confronted by Korach. And Korach says to Moshe, you've made Aaron the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, but we all want to have part of that holiness. We all believe that each of us is on that level. So fine. So Moshe says, listen, Korach, you're arguing. Hashem told me to appoint Aaron as the Kohen Gadol. Hashem told me to appoint Aaron, Elitzaphon, as the head of the family unit. You're arguing. But if you want, I will allow you to experience what it is that the Kohen Gadol does. And Moshe told him, fine, take incense. In Hebrew, it's called ketores. And let's offer it up. And you'll see if you can handle the holiness that comes from that activity. Of course, once they went into the Mishkan, once they went into the temple and they offered up the incense, the Torah says they immediately died. Korach did not change his tune. He kept fighting with Moshe. And the earth opened up, the Torah tells us. There was a sudden earthquake. Sudden fissure opens up in the ground and a crevice opens up and Korach and his family and his tents and his possessions and everything he has is swallowed up in the ground. We find out that Korach's children do teshuva, and as they are on a ledge in that opening in the ground, they do teshuva, and they say that Moshe is truth and his Torah is truth, and somehow they manage to get saved, not Korach, but his children, and eventually they become very, very great leaders of the Jewish people. They are Levim from the tribe of Levi, so they become great singers and great composers. There are chapters in Tehillim, in the book of Psalms and Tehillim, that are composed by the children of Korach, very powerful chapters of Tehillim. So there is an interesting conundrum, an interesting question that we have here. On the one hand, Korach is a troublemaker. And the Torah is very clear. And the Torah says that Korach was evil, he was wicked, he was stirring up trouble. And he was punished. He was punished with death. It was punished not only that he died, but Rashi makes the point that usually when there is even parents who are doing terrible stuff, their children aren't affected. But in this case, even the kids were affected. The whole family was swallowed up by the in the earth. So on the one hand, we find that he was very, very bad person, troublemaker. On the other hand, we find that he was a very smart and a learned person. And in fact, according to Kabbalah, according to the mystical teachings of the Torah, Korach's complaint was, why don't we have Mashiach's times right now? In the times of Mashiach, we're all going to be holier. We're all going to experience spirituality directly. We're all going to be able to sense and to contain this relationship with Hashem that the high priest, the Kohen Gadol, had. We should have it right now. So in fact, he wanted something very powerful. He wanted Mashiach's times right now. So how do you put together the two, how do you reconcile the differences? Was he a bad guy or was he a good guy? Maybe just a visionary before his times. Why is that such a big crime to be a visionary before your times? Why is it considered to be? And the answer is, Rebbe asked this question. And the Rebbe answers that, of course, on the one side, to be a person who desires spirituality in and of itself, it's a wonderful thing. But on the other hand, the question is, why do you value spirituality? Why are you looking for it? Are you looking for the personal high? Then it's a bad thing. Again, a bad thing doesn't mean a wicked or an evil thing. It just means you can't contain it. It's not something that you can actually work with. And you're not following Hashem's plan. So at the end of the day, the Rebbe explains, Korach was had great ideas, but unless you're working within the system that Hashem set up for elevating the world and for attaching yourself to God and for working with it's not you're actually working against the purposes. So this is an interesting look at Torah, and this is becomes a central part of the story of the Jewish people in the desert. Right after this, we read how Hashem says to the Jews, I want you to give certain gifts from your produce, from the stuff that grows, to the Kohen, and you have to support the Kohen in certain ways. And then it becomes a look at how the physical and the spiritual worlds mesh. So again, this is a question that we ask ourselves on a daily basis. We're going out and we're living in material worlds. We're working. We want to be more spiritual. We want to have spirituality, inspiration in our lives. How does that inspiration happen? And it's not easy to come to grips, and that's what Korach had, because Korach was using his own seichel, was using his own intuition, own understanding. It's not easy to come to grips with the message that Moshe is giving, and that message is follow the plan. A lot of times we say, I'm following the plan, but I don't feel it. I'm following the plan, but if I just had a little bit more, I would do this. Nowadays, we have an interesting phenomenon where the various streams in Judaism have practices that they've instituted where everybody can do this and people can do that, and there's no distinction between, let's say, for example, men and women, no distinction between Kohen and Levi. They don't make this distinction. And what happens is that the general connection to spirituality is suffering. You don't see a growth of spirituality in, let's say, the called the heterodoxical movements, the liberal movements. You don't see a growth of spiritual. You don't see a connection to holiness. So initially, the complaint is, why can't we also do this? But then what happens is, very quickly, it takes away from the fabric of the organic of connection. So it's like a person saying, why can't I stay up all night? Why can't I eat whatever I want? It tastes good to me. And then your health will suffer, because the truth of the matter is that there is a system. So the story of Korach is a story of misplaced spiritual seeking. And the response that Moshe had to Korach is a story of, if you want spirituality, it's there for the taking, but you need to take it in the methodologies that are given. You need to take it in the pathways that are prescribed. And again, spirituality doesn't mean me feeling a personal high. Spirituality means me connecting to Hashem. So that's the story. The end of the parsha, we read that the Jews were still complaining. After the story of Korach, the Jews were still complaining, and they were still saying to Moshe, maybe it's true that you need to have a representation, and not every one of us can become a Kohen Gadol. But who says that that representation has to come from the tribe of Levi? Who says that your tribe should be the representative tribe, the ones working in the temple? Hashem says to Moshe, listen, once and for all, I would like to do something that will make the people understand that, in fact, the tribe of Levi are the people to work in the Beis HaMikdash, to be the guide, the spiritual guides for the Jews. And Hashem says, take a staff, a stick, and every leader had some ceremonial staff stick that they had. Write down the names of each of the leaders on their sticks and put it into the temple, the Mishkan. The one who is going to start, these are dry sticks. The stick that's going to start all of a sudden budding, having flowers, and giving forth fruit, that stick is going to be the proof that that person is the person who I'm choosing to be the Kohen, to be the spiritual guide. That tribe is the one from whose members should be chosen the spiritual guides. And of course, as we can imagine, the Torah clearly says it, the Aaron stick, the Kohen Gadol, Moshe's brother, that was the one that all of a sudden began to give forth shoots and buds and flowers, and eventually it actually grew almonds, and actual almonds from this dry stick. Whether or not it came from an almond tree in the first place, there are different opinions, but that's what happened. Probably it didn't even come from an almond tree, but it grew buds, flowers, and almonds. And the other sticks just remained sticks. And Moshe gave them back the sticks, and they took the sticks back, and that's what happened. So this is a mystical story. Hashem says to Aaron and to Moshe and to the leaders of the 12 tribes, I'd like to make a final proof which one of your tribes should be the Kohen tribe, the Levi tribe, the leader tribe. And all of a sudden, that dry stick gives forth buds and flowers. So what's happening over here? How does this prove? Now, of course, the miracle itself is a miracle. But Hashem could have chosen any miracle. So why choose the miracle of flowers and buds? And of course, the rationale is, as we can imagine, that the concept of being a leader, the concept of being an individual who is a Kohen Gadol, if it's kept for yourself, you're not a leader. If it's kept for yourself, you're not a Kohen Gadol. The Rebbe speaks many times about a law in the laws of Shabbos that you're not allowed, in one of the halachas, one of the laws of Shabbos is you're not allowed to wash your clothing on Shabbos. Why can't you wash your clothing on Shabbos? Because you are squeezing out the liquid, and squeezing out liquid is similar to threshing wheat, which you're not allowed to do. So you can't squeeze out liquid from a cloth. So even if you have a spill on your kitchen table or your kitchen counter, you're not supposed to take a sponge or a cloth and wipe it up with your hands. You're supposed to hold it with something else. That's what the laws of Shabbos are. So what happens, the question becomes, in the laws of Shabbos, if you have a cloth that's previously soaked, you didn't do it now, but by merely picking it up, you're afraid that some liquid is going to be squeezed out. So the question is, are you allowed to pick up that cloth? And is it in fact called squeezing out? You're not doing the actual work. You're just handling the clothing that's wet. You're taking clothing that's maybe soaking in a bucket or a towel that's full of water, and you want to just move it from one place to the other. So what's considered to be too wet to be moved? And the answer is, if it's so wet that if you put it on another dry towel or another dry tablecloth or another dry cloth, that dry cloth is going to become wet just merely by placing it down, then it's considered to be so wet that you shouldn't be handling it on Shabbos. The Rebbe points to this halacha. The Rebbe says, take a look. What's considered wet? What's considered sopping? What's considered full of liquid? And in our case, we're talking about full of spirituality, full of vitality, full of life. The answer is, if when you walk in a room, people don't feel living, people don't feel your spirit, you ain't got no spirit. You're not really smiling. I said, I'm happy. How come you look so sad? What do you mean I'm sad? I'm happy. I don't know, but every time you stand next to me, I get depressed. You can't be too happy. So if a person is really happy, you walk into a room, and all of a sudden, the people around you start feeling happier. if a person is really upset, you walk into a room and people start feeling that you're upset. So when you're wearing your emotions on your sleeve, that is when people know that that's inside of you. And that was the message from Aaron Stick. If you have, you want to be a Kohen, that's fine. But you want to be a Kohen Gadol, you want to be the leader, you want to be somebody who is influencing, the test and the question to ask yourself is, can people see flowers? Can people see almonds? Are there fruits? Is there a consequence? Is there something that's coming out? And if the answer is yes, then yes, you're the Kohen Gadol. If the answer is you're still a dry stick, no, you're not a Kohen Gadol. So that's the story of our parsha. We start with Korach, Moshe's cousin, who argues that everybody should be a Kohen Gadol. And Moshe says, that's very, very selfish. Hashem doesn't, the world doesn't work that way. The world works in a way where there's harmony between people. We're not all leaders. Famously, the communist manifesto, of course, was that everybody should, started by a Jew. Everybody should be a leader. We're all equal. Everybody's the same. And of course, if you need a leader at the end of the day, I'll be the leader because somebody has to be the leader. That was communism. It doesn't work in the real world. In the real world, a hierarchy of people is what really works in a company, in a family. Everybody can be the boss. Not every kid can say whatever they want. The parents are supposed to be parents and so on. And the truth is that's the way it works in the business world. And the truth is that's the way it works in the world in general. And when each of us know our place in a good way, we don't have to be subservient. Again, this is not talking about subservience, being subservient to another human being underneath somebody else. What we're talking about is recognizing the divine mission and recognizing that Hashem wants us to do a certain thing, and our being that in that position is not a denigration, it's not a lowering. It's the opposite. It's living up to my job and my capacity. And sometimes you could be a Korach who is brilliant and wealthy. And are you capable of being Kohen Gadol? Yes, you're capable of being the high priest, but that's not the position where Hashem put you. Hashem put you into a different position. So again, as we go through our life, we are confronted with all kinds of different things. I would like to have this. I would like to. How come I'm not like that? How come? The answer is, more often than not, if we think about it, in the place where we are at the moment, that's the place that we're supposed to be, even if we might have the capacity to be somewhere else. But maybe this is the place where nobody else can do the job. And that, at the end of the day, is the litmus test. If we take a look around, and we see that the job that we're doing can only be done by us. It cannot be done by somebody else, either because nobody's living here, I'm the only person in town who can do it, or because nobody recognizes the need, or because nobody else has the capacity here. Even though I could be living somewhere else, I could be doing something else. Shem says to us, yes, it's true you have the capacity to be Kohen Gadol in the Beis HaMikdash, but that's not your job. That's not what I want from you. And the Rebbe used to, again, quoting the Rebbe used to say this to so many hundreds and hundreds and probably thousands of people writing to the Rebbe all kinds of questions. I'm in this position, I want to do this position. I'm living in New York, I want to move to Israel. I'm living in Israel, I want to move to New York. I'm in Russia, Soviet Russia, I want to leave Russia. Or I want to go here. And the Rebbe, very, very fascinating, almost, sometimes mystically, the Rebbe would tell somebody to do something. But generally speaking, the Rebbe would tell people, it's true that you want to leave. It's true you feel your life would be better, a different job, different this. But look at what you're accomplishing that nobody else can accomplish. Even people who are behind Iron Curtain. Look, if you leave, there's no shochet left. There's no rabbi left. There's no teacher left. There's nobody to influence. And the Rebbe himself is the prime example. The Rebbe himself took his time to do all kinds of what we would call menial things, not befitting a great Talmud Chacham, the great, great scholars in Judaism, even in our times. They didn't take time to go listen to people and write letters and meet people and give out dollars instead for hours giving out. You want everybody should have a dollar for tzedakah? No big deal. You have six secretaries. You give every single person a pack of dollars, or you just tell them, here's what I'd like. And why do you have to stand there yourself giving out a dollar? The Rebbe used to give out wine at the end of every holiday called Kol Shel Bracha, a little bracha. You want everybody to have wine, even from your cup. Give your cup to your secretary and let the secretary and the six or more secretaries give out. Why do you have to stand there yourself and give it out? The Rebbe felt that if he stood there himself, there was a different connection. In fact, there was a different connection. It was an opportunity for people to say a word, to request a blessing, to have a certain connection, to take a picture together with the Rebbe that they treasure till today, to have a dollar directly from the Rebbe's hand. So the Rebbe said, listen, I'm going to lose in a certain sense by giving and taking my time, but the other person is going to gain. And in fact, what the Rebbe teaches us, and this I mentioned this past Monday when we spoke about the Maimer, the discourse, the last discourse the Rebbe wrote called Ve'ata Tetzaveh, the Rebbe handed out to everybody right before he got his stroke in 1992. Over there, the Rebbe makes the point, amazing point, that the leader of the generation actually gains when the people of the generation follow his instructions and do mitzvahs according to. And this is something that really is a mystical thing. We understand if you're in a class, a teacher can gain by a smart student asking questions. But just by doing mitzvahs, the leader actually becomes more spiritually charged. So this is a very deep and a very, very important Jewish and based on Chassidus, obviously, based on the mystical teachings of the Torah, the interconnection between all of us. And when one of us, one Jew anywhere, wants to help another Jew, the best thing possible to do is to do the best job you can do in your area, and then you help somebody on the other side of the world. On the other hand, if you're not doing your own particular job, you're also somehow mystically taking energy that is possibly accruing to somebody else and not allowing that person to have that energy. So this is really the deep teaching of this parsha, is the interconnection between all the different parts of the Jewish body. And the Jewish body is the body of Jews. Every single Jew is part of one big body. In the language of Kabbalah, it's called the body of the Jewish nation. The Knesset Yisrael, the grouping of Jews, and each of us doing what we need to do individually, that's the best thing we can do for our friends and for ourselves and for our family. So this is what leads us to greater spirituality, greater coming of Mashiach right away. And eventually, when we all do our job, yes, we believe that Mashiach will come, and then we will all be on that level that Korach wanted at the time, which was premature for his times. So that's the message for this week. Take a look at what you can do. Take a look at what you know. Take a look at what somebody else isn't grabbing onto. And that's probably the most important thing to be done for you. They don't see it. You see it. That's Hashem's plan for you. You're in the place, nobody else is in the place. That's Hashem's plan for you. And that's your particular, your path to greatness is by taking a look at what's right around you and grabbing onto that and doing that. So that is Parshas Korach. And we move on from Parshas Korach to next week's Parsha, which we're going to be talking about all the holidays and many, many other amazing concepts. So the Torah is sequential. We go from last week's Parsha Shlach, the story of the spies and their mistake, to Parsha's Korach and his miscalculation and his mistake. And eventually, of course, we are becoming perfect. So the Torah is teaching us in each of these Parshios how to come closer and closer to Hashem's plan. So Shabbat Shalom, a wonderful Shabbos to everybody, and we should be able to have the energy to do our individual jobs in the best possible way, and also not just the energy, but the enthusiasm Recognize how important each of us are in our own individual ways. Nobody else can do what you can do. And if that wasn't true, then we wouldn't be here. Hashem wouldn't put us into this world. Every single person who's here is unique and is needed and actually has some task that nobody else can do. So that is the message of the parsha.